Hi everyone, Sandman here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Chitan, and here's what he briefly has to say. Hi Sandman, Chitan here from the Himalayas. Our currency in India keeps sliding against the US dollar to the benefit of government crony friends who sell garbage IT services to the West. Inflation is through the roof and almost everyone I know has migrated to the West. Of late, my resentment towards them has spiked because they keep complaining about how great Indian culture is and how Indians are better than the whites, while they live and earn in the West. The people in the West are facilitating more of these scumbags from all over the world to enter. This won't end well for you guys. I hope the recession kicks in fast and these ultra-nationalists and others have to get back to their original places. Except for this indignation, I don't feel much and have gone super cold. I stopped dating in 2016 and met 7 sugar babies when the hormones went berserk. Sex holds no appeal anymore, and I get the constant urge to delete myself. I study philosophy and religious scripts, which has probably stopped me from acting out on that. Till next time, ciao. Well, Chitan, thanks for the donation and rambling topic. I came to Canada from Eastern Europe and have experienced the same behavior you described from your own people. A superiority complex to the English, German, and other Western European nations. Meanwhile, the last time I was in Eastern Europe, the streets weren't being cleaned and the young people would throw garbage on the streets. My cousin even told me that it wasn't cool that I threw my trash in the trash can. If everyone was so much better in the East, then why didn't they actually build a civilization that was just as good? Why didn't Indians build ships and circumnavigate the globe and conquer other continents? Why did the British, French, and Spanish have to do that instead? As for inflation and your currency collapsing, the US dollar has been rising steadily because people all over the world are selling their US stocks and other assets and hoarding cash because of economic uncertainty. There is no conspiracy by your cronies to export cheap labor to America. That's just a byproduct of what's going on in the financial markets. But I suspect it's a temporary thing. It happened in 2008 as well, with oil hitting almost $150 a barrel. And then the global financial crisis destroyed demand and the price cratered. As for the supposed superiority complex that comes from poor and less developed nations, it's just projection and denial. They're worried that Westerners are going to rub their accomplishments in their face and say that they're better, but they never do. But they can't exactly do that if the Easterner groups claim that they're superior first. It's a sign of weakness when your culture claims they're superior to the dominant one. I'll discuss more in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2. Whether you're getting camel toe in Cambodia, banging babes in burkas in Turkey, or taking Polaroids of ladyboys in Thailand, Luca Vendetti has a series of books to make you live the dream. His new 3-booklet series includes How to Live on $500 a Month in Cambodia, Turkey, and Vietnam, in addition to his classic How to Retire on $200K in Southeast Asia. He also has the MGTOW book. Visit MGTOWBooks.com and use the promo code Sandman to get 10% off. Now available in 4 formats. PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to Indian women thinking their shit don't stink clown world show. Recently I've been dealing with the medical condition known as jeep seat. One of my viewers told me to see a male WASP or Jewish surgeon. WASP stands for White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. He considered those groups of males to be the most competent groups of medical practitioners and surgeons. I've already gone out of my way to get medical advice from those groups already. The last 2 operations or procedures I went through were with them. Plus, my dermatologist is Scottish. I've gone to doctors from my own so-called background, and most of them were terrible. My Scottish dermatologist is retiring, and he's passing down his book of business to a female Indian doctor. And she didn't help me at all. I saw her first, even though I requested him. There's a lack of compassion from female doctors to men because it's part of female nature. But also, if you actually go to a female Indian doctor in Canada that has that superiority complex, which you speak of, Chitan, which is just an inferiority complex in disguise, much of the time do you really expect to get good usable advice and service? Forget about it. I also went to a movie theater in the mostly Indian part of the city of Mississauga, just south of Brampton, which is mostly an Indian suburb, to see the film The Joker. I didn't care that more than half the people in the theater were Indians. What I did care about was the giant yellow cone signaling a mess right there in front of my seat that no one wanted to clean up as the movie was about to start. I had to ask 3 times before the people working there, who were too lazy to clean it up, actually did. This would never happen in a theater in a mostly Caucasian area. people would complain and the situation would get fixed immediately. It was a filthy movie theater at Courtney Park, which I used to go to in my 20s, when it was brand new and absolutely clean. That's the last time I went there and I won't be going back. If you import the habits of the third world into the first world, then you just turn the first world into the third. That is, unless of course you can assimilate the people you bring in quickly enough. You force the Indians or Arabs or other groups to change their behavior to a more Western way of life. But nowadays, with 500,000 people coming to Canada each year, that's impossible, because most communities are setting up their own economies that run parallel to the ones that were set up decades or centuries ago by the heritage Canadians. So what can be done at this point? Chetan, you want the Indians to fail and the West to suffer. They will once eventually immigrant populations form their own nations in Canada once there's an economic calamity. They won't go back to their original homelands. I can move to Belgrade, Serbia right now and have my citizenship ready because I was born over there. But I'm not going to leave Canada until Justin Trudeau just about bans all private ownership of weapons and Bill C-11 bans freedom of speech. That's when it's time to leave. I'd prefer living in the States, but it would probably be impossible for me to get a green card at this point. And I don't want to be a lifelong taxpayer to Uncle Samantha either. Also, please don't end your life, Chetan. I'm sure things will get better soon with regards to inflation, as the global markets crash and we enter a global recession, if we aren't already in one. I'm glad you've done monk mode and see that sex and relationships are a complete waste of time. You've also probably seen what happens to Indian women when they enter their mid-30s and start to sport their Indian auntie bodies. It's the Indian auntie wall. Even the Indian women that I've known that were fully assimilated into Canada also had that superiority complex, believing they were better than everybody. I'm tired of games like that. Why can't people just be themselves and do their best and let Western society make up their own minds about what's superior and inferior? It's just so petty. Chetan, you need to find some purpose in life to live for so you don't self-delete. I'm glad you're using religion and philosophy as a crutch right now, but eventually you're going to need to find something else. I don't know what else I can say about entitled Indian women in Canada thinking they're better than the locals. So for the rest of this video, I want to share my thoughts on what's happening in the economy in general going forward. We're probably already in a recession, and rising interest rates will strengthen the US dollar, and assets like stocks, bonds, and real estate will sell off. There are two schools of thought here. The first is that inflation gets under control and the stock market goes down, and we go back to some sort of normal, with interest rates maybe around 2 or 3%. The other school is that central banks can't raise interest rates enough without collapsing the economy, and then we're entering a 5 to 10 year long period of stagflation, slow growth with inflation. If we go through that 5 to 10 year inflationary period, then you actually want to own energy companies, commodities, land, and even Bitcoin. Those will most likely continue to grow and continue to keep most of your purchasing power alive over the long term. But if inflation gets under control, then you want to go back into risk-based tech assets again. I'm watching this situation very carefully and sold about 70% of my stocks at a handsome profit, waiting for a perfect buying opportunity. Bitcoin, I haven't sold any of it, and that's something I plan on holding for the next 5 to 10 years, if not indefinitely. So I don't care how much it goes up or down in the short run. I'd love to see a crash so I can buy more high-yielding dividend funds that would actually pay me 15 to 20% a year if the market dropped 50 to 60%. That would help me keep ahead of inflation and give me an annual income from that in the mid to high five-digit range, more than enough for all my expenses. And then if the market corrects up 50%, it doubles the value of my investment. This isn't financial advice, but the fund's name in Canada is EIT. It dipped to the level I actually wanted to buy it during COVID, which is around 6.5 to 7, but I didn't know it existed back then, which would have paid roughly a 15 to 16% dividend. I bought it at $9 and was collecting 12% annually, or 1% a month. I sold it at $13 after collecting 12% for a year and made another 30 to 40% in capital appreciation. I'm salivating at the prospect of buying it again if there's a market crash. Another thing I forgot to mention about Indians in Canada is they used to be the majority of cab drivers in Toronto, and they used to go around buying cab license plates for $200,000 or even $300,000 each. Now they're basically $5,000 to $10,000. Once Uber showed up, many of the people that bought them went bankrupt because they bought dozens of plates on credit, and they were renting them out and using the cash flow to pay the interest on the loans that they took out to buy them. They were absolutely wiped out thanks to Uber. They were unable to see how technological change changed their business model in time before they were wiped out. This is an Achilles heel for many Indians. They don't always take into consideration disruptive technologies into consideration. Right now in Canada, most of them are living in sprawling suburbs but haven't taken the longer-term consequences of global energy decline into consideration. All the suburban homes they bought will collapse in value because they are way out there. The English-speaking Canadians still live in most of the small towns and cities, which are scaled the best for the coming energy future. Indians and most minorities live in urban centers that will lose most of their value in the future, and so is driving long distances. It's mostly whitey that lives out in the country, and small towns as well as in downtowns with good public transit. I suspect that most Indian families and immigrant families in general are going to basically feel cheated having the real estate that loses the most value in a world with expensive energy. But even then, many won't be able to pay double or triple the price of an airline ticket to go back to India. Instead, they'll just become the new peasant classes working on the farms in rural Canada and America, after they lose their IT and call center jobs here, and after the motels and cab industry dies. They'll be pissed off, but they won't be able to do anything about it. The Canadian government is also smart putting Indians in positions of political power, because then the heritage Canadians can simply point out and say, look, we share the political power and wealth with Indian people. But the Indians will know better. It's a future where the native Indians that were here before the settlers will be living better than the Indians from the subcontinent, because they'll still have the ability to hunt and fish on their own land, because they, for the most part, are still on their native lands. But at least we can look on the bright side. All those hairy Indian women will be basically putting their hair to good use and won't have to get laser hair removal on their bodies anymore because their hair will help keep them warm in those cold Canadian winters. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Chetan for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that Indian men in Canada will probably start trying to smash white Canadian women because they don't want to plow their schwing-schwang through their own females' follicle forests. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the minorities that haven't realized that their Western way of life and is an illusion built on cheap fossil fuels, which will soon be gone away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.